Call the meeting of the Service Delivery and Performance Committee to order, please. I'm Gary Matkin, a member of the committee. We do not have a quorum today, but we're going to go ahead with our meeting with regard to the information action. So there's only one action item on the agenda, item number two. But we will, regional local training policies, but we won't be able to vote on that today. But we will be able to listen to information from staff and from others. Members of the public may address the Service and Delivery Performance Committee on items listed within its agenda so long as the subject matter is within the jurisdiction of the OCBD, DB.
We're going to start with the call to order. Well, you've called to order, so now we're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance, sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Board member call.
Chair. Alarisa Jazier. John Luker. Bob Claudio.
Here.
Barbara Mason. Gary Matkin.
Here.
Ernesto Madrano. We do not have quorum.
First on the item is the summary action minutes. Any questions about that, Ron?
No, it's an information item.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Information item number three, one-stop system update, staff.
Okay. Today we've asked the service providers to join us in this conversation about the one-stop performance and the WIOA workforce system. In the past, we've asked WIOA to join us, and I'm not sure the reason why. Today we've asked our CSEP provider and our SSA provider, because both of those contracts are under the Orange County Development Board's advisory. And so in the past, we've not met or discussed those two programs. They've been in some of the performance materials, but today we've asked them to come. What I'd like to do is ask, we'll start off with OCAPICA to give us more information about their program. Are they here today? Right. Okay, if you can give us the board, if you can address the board and provide them more information about your actual program outside of the WIOA program, give them an understanding of exactly what you do and who you're serving.
Okay. Hi everyone, I'm Josue. I'm the Action Program Manager for our three programs. We have they're all SSA programs. We have one that's called EPP, Employment Preparation Program. Then we have WEX program, which is the Work Experience, and BTR for Vocational Training. Our EPP and our WEX programs are work experience programs.
Can you come up, Sue?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can we face this way, or?
No, we just want to make sure you're on record.
Oh. Yeah. Anywhere?
Yeah.
Right. So we have three different programs that I mentioned earlier. We have two that are work experience. Our EPP is a six-month work training program. It's designed to work to help participants find employment with the county agencies. The idea is for them to get experience that's going to help them become more employable. Our shorter term.
I'm sorry, what does EPP stand for?
Employment Preparation Program.
Okay.
Our second program, our WEX, is a 12-week work experience program that's designed to help people that are more ready for employment enter until they're ready. So we have 12 weeks of paid work experience for employers with intention that they're going to hire the participant at the end of the 12 months. There are exceptions if needed, but we try to get people employed within those 12 weeks. If for whatever reason they don't find employment, then we work with them for 45 days to find employment afterwards. Vocational training program, that's for folks that want to attain some kind of short-term college certification. You have medical assistants, truck drivers, people that want into technology. So they get referred to programs that can be completed within 12 months. And it has to be accredited or a certification that's nationally accredited. So, and that's provided to them as well. So, and this partnership is directly with CalWORKs. So these are our people that are receiving CalWORKs and are getting cash aid. They get referred to our programs by the social workers, the workers that they're working with. They get referred to us and we provide the services. And then we work throughout, we work with the case managers to provide supportive services. We don't directly provide supportive services, but if there's anything that they need, we inform inform social services about it, and they kind of help us out with that. So we have periodic contact with them throughout the month. They have assigned job developers that work with individuals throughout the program time. So that's kind of like a summary about the program of the three that we have.
How many clients do you serve?
So it's each year, there's not a specific number that we have to serve, but on average, we serve over 200 in DPP, about 30 in WEX, and then we have another 36 in our BTR program. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
The next provider we'd like to come up and speak is Working Wardrobes on their CSEP program. If you can provide a brief overview of that program.
Sure. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Albert Stone. I am the CSEP program coordinator for the County of Orange. The CSEP program is a senior community service employment program. We provide services to individuals 55 and older who are low income and transitioning back into the workforce. The way that we do that is we bring individuals into the program. If they qualify, we assign them to either a government or nonprofit organization part-time for 16 hours a week. They volunteer for that organization, and then we subsidize their volunteer time at minimum wage, which is equivalent to $13 per hour. We also assist them during their time in the program, transitional workforce experience. We provide them with different workshops at our specific location. We actually just held an Excel workshop yesterday for our participants to assist them in transitioning back into the workforce.
Again, how many people do you serve?
At any given time, we typically have about 50 people on our caseload. Over the course of one program year, we service about 85 individuals.
And you mentioned Excel training. What other kind of training do you provide?
Other basic computer training. We have basic job skills assistance workshops, like resume assistance interview workshops, mock interviews, things like that. We do have different organizations and different employers come on site to provide interview experience with them directly, things of that nature.
And I heard mention also Working Wardrobes. You work with that organization?
Yeah, so the program is currently housed under the Working Wardrobes umbrella, so okay. they operate the grant. So we also provide professional clothing to them as well.
Okay.
But most of the participants are, they're looking for work, but not necessarily full-time.
That's correct. Yeah, actually, the majority of them are looking for part-time work, either to subsidize Social Security or SSI or SSDI or something of that nature.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. I know we've had several participants working in our agency over the course of time, and
yes.
They've been excellent.
They need more time.
I know. We'll let you know.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to introduce Nakia Theory, who's in our unit, who oversees those programs. And just, Nakia, if you want to just kind of give them a high-level overview of what we're trying to accomplish in our unit with the CSEP and SSA programs.
Good afternoon, everyone. So, based on what was already stated, as far as what we do internally, so we do the oversight. Reza Zarian is actually the contract manager, and he's under my unit. And so we do the overall oversight of all of the programs. So the SSA Welfare to Work program, as you all know, that's in congruence with the TANF program. And so as the funds come down from SSA, they are provided to us through the Welfare to Work programs, and we do the oversight through the OCAPICA program, and that includes the EPP, BTR, and WEX programs. And so we do the oversight of looking at their performance, of course, doing things like the tracking, the budgeting, the expenditures. And then we also ensure that they're looking at and achieving their goals as it relates to the assignment rates, the completion rates, and the employment rates. And so SSA, we work directly with them and very closely with them in regards to those rates and accomplishing those rates. So you're looking at, for assignment rate, 80%, ensuring that at least 80% are placed in an assignment, doing site work at the assignments or at the training. And then you're looking at 70-80% for completion and employment rates for each of those three programs. As far as CSEP, CSEP is a program that's directly through the California Department of Aging, so they are the state funder for that program. Funds are passed down and streamlined through the Office on Aging, which is our county agency, also known as the AAA, which is the Area Agency on Aging. Through them, funds are then transitioned over to our program, because although it is a state of California CDA program, because it's dealing in workforce development services and workforce services through Department of Labor, that's why funds, and that's why we're involved in that program specifically. And so, as Albert mentioned, it is for the most disadvantaged older adults who do have difficulties finding employment for various reasons. Most of the participants in that program, as Albert stated, they are seeking part-time employment, but this helps them, because if you're looking at a senior, some of them may have been out of the work field for many, many years. They may have retired, and maybe retirement has run dry. And so now they are only having their Social Security, and as many of you know, in Orange County, it is very difficult to strictly live off of Social Security. So many of them have to go back into the work field and learn some of those new skills. So the Working Wardrobe CSEP program gives them the opportunity to do so, so that they can then transition into either part-time employment. In some cases, there is full-time employment that they transition into as well.
So what would you say the biggest challenges for these programs are? What challenges do you see occurring?
Well, for the welfare to work programs, I mean, the challenges, there are significant barriers to them getting employment. So you're talking about child care barriers, you're talking about education level barriers, you're also talking about willingness of the participants. So many of the participants that go through that program, you have to understand getting employment or being employment is a condition of them being a part of the welfare to work program. In most cases, there are some who volunteer, but for the most part, it's a condition of them being able to remain in that program and get that public assistance for them being a part of that. So that's some of the challenges that I see for that program. For the CSEP program participants, you're looking at certain things like homelessness, transportation, age-related barriers as well related to that program, because you're talking about the most disadvantaged older adults.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So the next provider we'd like to give us an update on their project or program is KRA's one-stop operator.
Hello. Also, if you know me, I'm David Beckery, so see everyone.
David, can you come up so we can get you on record? Thank you.
Just wanted to fill you in on this last quarter. Was involved in three different types of meetings. The one-stop operations meeting at each of the one-stops, and coordinating some of the activities there, talking about facilities, and also included information about the Hallmark of Excellence. If you recall, that was something that we had submitted to the state for continuous improvement. Also involved in the partner, one-stop partner meetings, where we have several partners in the communities and co-facilitated partners present. This quarter we have the Financial Planning Association of Orange County, who does pro bono financial planning with low-income individuals, and they gave a great presentation. Also, Goodwill Industries of Orange County talked about their new and upcoming re-entry programs for working with people that are on probation. I've also facilitated the stakeholder meetings, which is the manager's level of our partners. And again, we talked about Hallmark of Excellence there. We're focusing on partner collaboration and improving that between partners and inviting in new partners as well. And there was a lot of talk about ADD and the things that are happening at the state level in terms of their departments and changes that are occurring there. So overall, everything well at the one stops and working with the partners, so appreciate it.
A question for you.
Yes.
You talk about coordination. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about the value of coordination? Coordination is always nice word to use, but you know, what actually then happens as a result of that coordination?
Yeah, this particular aspect of the Hallmark of Excellence is working together with other partners, which can increase the amount of services that the customer is using or using at the one stop. So it gives them more options. So we get together with other partners, create, you know, different types of service levels. In some cases, it's saving agencies funds because they're not expending funds. Another agency might pick up part of the cost that, to serve a participant. So that coordination of services just provides more options for the customer and possible cost savings to different agencies that where there may be duplication.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
And so that's it for item number 3 for the one-stop system update.
So now we need a grants update, information grant update.
Correct. So tab, I believe, 4. At the top of the tab, you'll see the most recent grants that we've applied for. We recently applied for the AB 1111 grant, and I think we mentioned that in the last meeting that we were submitting an application for it. We actually received the award.
Great.
That particular project is up to $500,000 in funding. We are partnering with Goodwill of Orange County to provide services to individuals with disabilities and connectivity to our one-stop system.
So when you say up to $500,000, do you mean that we get $500,000, we spend it, or how does that
correct?
How does that work?
Well, so in most cases, it's cost reimbursement, which means that we have to, of course, expend that amount of money to seek reimbursement back. But it's up to $500,000 in reimbursement.
I get it.
Okay. And then on the second page, towards the bottom, you'll see. She did at the top. I apologize. You'll see the recent grants that we've applied for. The most recent grant we applied for is the Regional Implementation 3.0 Slingshot Grant. This is a grant that will allow further development and support of the regional implementation, which is where Orange County, Santa Ana, and Anaheim are working together to create regional efforts to move the economic health of Orange County forward. You'll see that we've applied for $581,216. People off. Is that number correct?
That's with a match, 10% match.
That's correct.
So it's $400,000.
With match.
With the match.
I apologize. So I should probably just put what we applied for on there. So $400,000 is what we applied for, and then we're matching our local workforce dollars.
Between the 3 points.
Correct. The second grant that we've recently applied for is a Regional Implementation Accelerator Project 8.0. We've applied for $300,000 to support, as a region, helping homelessness. So all three workforce boards are targeting homeless shelters within their communities and engaging the shelters with the workforce system, so trying to make connectivity with the one-stop centers. And offering services to the individuals who are being served in those shelters.
It's $150,000 that we applied to, but the match is a 100%.
Okay, 100% match. Okay, so next grant, I'll just ask you, what did we actually apply for? So $150,000, I apologize, and then we're matching up to $150,000, but that's also the three workforce boards are contributing money to that match portion. And then,
Is that an equal match between the three boards, or is it based on the size of the area?
McKee.
That one is an equal match.
Is it? Okay.
And so, Nakia, can you please present the next grant that we've applied for?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so the next one is the Support Your Communities Fostering Opioid Recovery Through Workforce Development National Located Worker Grant.
Nakia, can you come up so we can get your record?
I don't know, I'm loud enough.
No, louder.
So again, the support to communities fostering opioid recovery through workforce development dislocated worker grant, the NDWG, that is a grant that we are partnering with EDD directly with. So EDD is actually the applicant for that grant. They're applying directly through DOL for that grant, and they sought out local workforce development boards to partner with on that grant. Through that, we had to also do a partnership, and so we have decided to partner with Orange County Healthcare Agency for that grant. And so the idea behind that grant will be that we are seeking to really engage individuals who are recovering substance abusers and have them get the advantages of recovery services and treatment services through healthcare agency and the various treatment programs that they have, as well as on our side providing the employment and workforce development services to those individuals while they're seeking those treatment services, and then after treatment as well, providing them with opportunities to get various services, including continuing those workforce development services, potentially going into some type of vocational training program, or even looking at seeking some type of certification in drug and alcohol counseling. And so you will see that for that particular grant, we applied for, it says total grant, so that's why that includes the match. But the amount that we applied for with EDD for that grant is $610,000, and it had a dollar for dollar match as well.
Is there a targeted number of participants?
So we indicated a targeted amount of participants of 55 participants to be served through that program. And not all of them, of course, will go into a vocational program or something like that. We had to break down those numbers. But the target for the entire program was 55 for that. And it is a two-year grant.
Okay. Did I understand that you've been seeking employment for these folks even while they're in recovery and not fully recovered?
So what they're going to be going through while they're, well, you're all, if you're a recovering substance abuser,
you're always recovering. Got it.
You're always in recovery. And so what we're going to be doing with that is while they're going through treatment, they'll be given those employment services. So the job skills, the soft skills training, the various resume preparation, they'll be able to have access to that through our one-stop system. And then after that, we'll go through the same process of the transitioning into employment. Because if you look at it many times, especially if they're going to be in a treatment program through a healthcare agency, most of it is based on the Medi-Cal requirements related to treatment services. And so you're looking at someone being in treatment anywhere between 30 to 60 to 90 days. And so that may align particularly with the program that they're going through, whether it be a work experience program with the workforce services as well.
Thank you.
I will correct this before the next meeting, before executive committee.
Yeah, there's a small typo in there. It says addition instead of addiction in the description.
Yeah, we'll make the correction of that, but we'll also correct where you can see what we actually applied for versus what we matched.
The total.
And so we'll correct that for the executive committee meeting as well as the full board.
I personally think that that's, you know, considering the state of where we are with that type of issue that I think is facing everyone across the country, it's important for us to try and figure out a way to address it. I know in our AJCCs, I've had staff that deliver workshops for people with barriers to employment, and many of them come from, you know, issues with substance abuse. But many of them, from my staff telling me, have lots of professional experience, you know. So it may be just a matter of a quick, you know, retuning of, you know, how they look for work. But hopefully we'll be able to make an impact on that, because that's such a big issue for everyone.
And just to add to what Rob is saying, if you're wondering why DOL proposed a grant focused specifically on opioid, is because, as if you didn't know, as many of you may know already, we are in the United States under an opioid epidemic. It is an epidemic. It has been classed as an epidemic. And so DOL is really trying to look at offering opportunities that address the recovery services, because you're looking at now, the reason it's being classified as an epidemic is because it's hitting all populations. So it's hitting youth, it's hitting adults, and it's hitting seniors as well. And so because of that, looking at services that can address that, treatment services, and then also looking at the workforce side.
Very good.
So that's the end of that? Okay, good. All right, item 5 on the agenda has to do with the WIOA performance dashboard. And we've got a lot of data on that, I think.
We do. This is under tab 5.
Yeah.
And then the first tab behind tab 5 is the actual dashboard. I'm going to give you a moment to take a look at it.
I reviewed this before and it looks very good. We have only one red stop sign there.
Correct.
And the rest look like they're in really good shape, with a few with minor corrective action needed. As I say, you usually look at exceptions. We don't have very many exceptions, so you can please.
Well, I want to remind you that we're looking at this from the quarter standpoint,
yes, right.
But not contractually. So when we entered into contracts with the providers, we entered into contracts with them with specific target numbers. And so when we're looking at this quarterly dashboard, we're only looking at that quarter and where performance is. And so this is part of where we're having these conversations about this dashboard and if this in fact is the direction that we want to continue to go in, because I don't think that we're looking at the big picture and comparing it to what we contractually obligated ourselves to reviewing and overseeing with the providers. So I know that we're still trying to figure out which direction we want to go in, but this is, as a quarter, this is what the performance looks like.
Well, it seems to me that, I mean, this is really a good indicator unless you say there's something wrong with the data. I mean...
Well, you're looking at it from a quarter.
From the quarter. I get it, but I mean, that's all we have to go on, right? I mean...
No, that's not true.
Oh.
So we have the ability to pull reports that look at year-to-date, contract-to-date reports. But we're only looking at it from a quarter because that's what we've been looking at in the past, and we're, as a committee, we've been trying to decide how you want to review this moving forward. So we're still looking at it from the quarter lens, but behind here you'll have each of the providers, their performance for that quarter and what that looks like. But at the front of their performance, or at the front of their section, you'll find what their contract performance is. And so you're not looking at the contract performance in this dashboard.
What would prevent us from having that one? That
we just need to agree to change this dashboard. We've been having conversations in the S&D and this committee meeting, these committee meetings, to try to determine what would you like to see and what makes sense. The problem is that not all the contracts started at the same time. So you have the adult DW contracts that started in January. You have youth contracts that started in July, and they've carried on for multiple years. So you've got that challenge.
Would it make sense then to do the like a different dashboard, if you will, that goes from contract period? So it goes from beginning contract to where we are now, and it eliminates all this other stuff.
I don't think that's a bad idea. I was waiting for you to determine what you want to see.
I would really endorse that. What I like about this program here, the way you've done this dashboard, not only has the colored circles, but it's got an arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And that arrow means something.
Okay.
To me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a situation where, you know, everything's in compliance, but there's a downward arrow, and that means, oops, something might be wrong there, right?
Yeah, so downward arrow means downward trend.
Trend, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that trend is probably the most important thing. I mean, obviously it adds more data to what we're really looking at, and if we could have it on a contract basis with that arrow, that would be, I think that would really make the exceptions stand out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we can concentrate on the exceptions.
Got it. Okay.
I think the full board, too, would probably better understand
that
it's not just a quarter. You're looking at the actual.
Because looking at this, I mean, there's a lot of data here. And
right.
Trying to understand that data, I mean, you start out with on each one of these, you start out with cost per job seeker, for instance, total job seeker serves. and then you give numbers, but those numbers don't mean anything unless you compare them to something, and that's what this does. It basically compares it to something.
True. Okay. Okay. Can I take a look at what you're looking at so we can just kind of get on the same page about what it's saying?
I'm just pulled out a random attachment E, page 104, which is under tab six.
Okay.
So.
So this is MCS, is WIOA Title I Career Services contract, right?
Right.
And so the top part of it represents the amount of participants that they're contracted to serve. So the 897 is how many people they're contracted to serve the entire contract, which is from January 1st of 2019
right.
until June 30th of 2020.
Right.
That's how many people they're contracted to serve. The next line item is the self-seeking job service participants. Those are individuals that just come into the job center and may just need access to the resource room. They're anticipated to support 9,714 people in that.
So the title of that column is then incorrect.
I think we could probably find a better way to title that.
Total job seekers served. That's actually who we're desiring to serve, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And then the next thing is that then somewhere there should be, well, how many have we actually served today?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
How far along on the
exactly.
contract are we?
Exactly.
That'll tell us something, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we can update this to match more of what's in the contract, because what I think is important is for you to actually see what the contract says,
right. Yeah.
So that you understand that you're only looking at it from a quarterly lens, and the challenge with looking at it from that perspective is that most of our performance is 2 years after the person has exited that we actually see that. So we're not looking ahead.
Yeah.
We're just looking at right now. And I don't think that that's the view that we should be focusing on.
No, I agree with you. And again, the trend is important, because we could have somebody that was underperforming early and then is catching up, and there's an upward arrow, and that
sure.
says cool.
Sure.
Okay? On the other hand, there's somebody that starts out great and it's going downhill. We want to know that, too.
And so I think it's important for this committee to at least look at the performance right now, because we want to be able to tell the executive committee and full board that we've evaluated the performance for this quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But moving forward, we will do contract-to-date performance instead.
That would be good.
Okay.
So if we say, okay, we're going to, now this committee is going to evaluate this, if we look at the dashboard, and let's say that this dashboard is somewhat indicative of issues and problems,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat.
Okay.
Then we'd say, okay, gosh, looks like, for instance, the red one here is a youth Region 7, and there's no money spent on that one. So what's happening there? I mean, is it just starting out?
No, it's not. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Let's talk about that.
So that particular contract, the provider has not submitted invoices that have been paid yet. I think the county department and that provider are working together to get those invoices paid.
Okay.
So that's what you're saying there, is that they have not paid them yet.
Okay.
However, they are providing services. And so just to give you high level, I do have the information of contract to date. So if you look at Region 7, at the beginning of their contract for Region 7, they had zero carry-in, so that means that there were no participants already in the area that they were supposed to support. They have, since the first contract to date, served 89 new participants, and they've exited 65. For their second contract, Youth Region 8, they had zero carry-ins. They had 101 new participants. They've exited 60. So altogether, this provider has served 190 participants and exited 125.
Seems pretty good.
Okay.
But I don't know that that's good, or I don't know whether that's good or not.
Well, we can look at what the contract said.
Yeah.
Now the problem is that this contract is just one part of the contracts from 2016 until today. But if we go to the report, page 10, or no, section 9,
section
you'll
nine.
See that towards the back, you'll see that in their contract for Region 7, they were supposed to have 25 carry-ins, 24 new enrollments, and then 13 participants in follow-up for Region 7. And then they were supposed to have 67 carry-ins for Region 8, 45 new enrollments, and then 17 in follow-up. So their total amount of participants that they were contracted to serve just from this, from July 1 of 2019 until now, they were supposed to, or till the end of the contract, is 191. So that's 191, but then this says that they've had 190 total from 2016. Does that make sense? So we're not looking at it when we're doing these reports and when we're contracting with the providers, we're not looking at the entire time we've been contracting with them under that procurement. Does that make sense?
So though I thought you said you mentioned there were no carry-ins.
They had no carry-ins, but there was carry-ins in the contract.
But the contract said that. So
correct.
Do we know what happened?
Well, so the problem is that the original contract was established in 2016, right? And so when you establish a new contract in 2016, every year that they got a new contract, they did new performance, which means you weren't looking at the last performance and accumulated performance. You were given a new performance every year.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a challenge because you have a procurement that requires you to kind of match the performance of that procurement, and we're not. And so moving forward, we need to, as a board, rethink how we're contracting and what we're asking for in those contracts with the performance,
right,
and how we're viewing that performance.
Right.
I hope that's making sense.
Well, I think, as a matter of principle, the notion of projecting from say 2016 to 2020,
right,
is a little bit of a stretch. So there's because things change, obviously. So there's got to be some sort of feedback from the contract, the previous contract, into the next
correct
performance period,
correct,
right? And has that been happening? I mean,
I don't think that this has been the practice in the past, but I think under the direction of the SDMP committee, that if that is what you want to make sure that when you're creating new contracts and we're putting out procurements, that we're tracking past performance with that provider with the new contracts. I believe that is something that we can and should do.
I think it would be valuable.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because otherwise it's rather arbitrary just to set a goal that hasn't been reached or been wildly exceeded. You know, goal setting doesn't mean anything in that case. Right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. So
and
let's.
There's always the past is not always a good predictor of the future because things change and suddenly we get more people coming out of prison because of some prison release thing. We got a big deal. So there's different factors.
I totally agree. Well, let's. I don't want to single out that provider, so let's
right
look at the other providers so that we're being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
So the very first one is Managed Care Solutions for the one-stop Title I Career Services contract. And so we're going to go under tab.
Six?
Yes, tab six. So on the NCS contract, just so that you're aware, they were contracted to serve, let's start this. When the contract started, they had about 390 total carry-ins, and that's a combination of adult and dislocated workers. They have since the beginning of the contract, which is January 1st, 2019 to December 31st, 2019, they've had 380 new participants.
What page are you on?
I'm giving you something that's not in here so you can have the, yeah.
Okay.
Just so that you can compare to what this
mm-hmm
contract says. Because the dashboard didn't necessarily provide you that information.
Mm-hmm.
So the total of carried in a new participant served is 770, and they've exited 235 participants since they've had this contract. And so if you look at the total job seekers to be served, they're contracted to serve 897. And then, like I said earlier, they have 9,714 that receive basic services in their one-stop system. They also have performance requirements to support business, which we don't typically look at, but we probably should. When we're doing this dashboard, we're not asking, are we engaging with businesses, and that's part of our performance.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, they've got contractual obligations for job fairs and work-based learning, or work-based training. And so if you...
Yeah, because I think the last committee meeting, I specifically asked about the additional information with regards to the job fair satisfaction survey.
Correct. You did.
To see More anecdotally, what are they saying about, you know, our services or the experience? So I think that's still important if we can get there.
We'll get there. Mm-hmm. And so if you move forward, you'll see that we provided you a report from the CalJobs system, the 9173 report that comes directly from CalJobs, but that report is pulled only for the quarter, and it supports the information that's provided in the dashboard. And so moving forward, we can pull a report from the contract start date to the end of that quarter so that you can see basically contract beginning to current date where they are with performance. And so that's what we'll do moving forward.
Great, that'd be good.
Do you have any questions about this one? Otherwise, we're gonna move to the next provider. So we
go ahead.
The next provider, Carey Corporation for the Adult Dislocated Worker contract. Their performance information is found on five. So for that particular provider, the total amount of carry-ins was 319 carry-in participants, and that's from January 1st. The new participants was 322. So from January 1st to December 31st, they've had 322 new participants. The total participants served is 641 totally served. And of the participants served, they've had 250 who've exited the program. If you look at their contract, they were contracted to serve 772, and then 7,943, right, correct. And then moving forward, you'll have a copy of the 9173 report to see what they've done quarterly, or for this particular quarter, I'll take that back. And if you have any questions about their performance, we've invited them to this meeting so that they can speak about their performance.
Job seekers to be served was 772, and you said the actual number of service was 600 and.
Right, so the total amount from the carry-ins and the new to date is 641.
Okay, and how? And we got until June to complete this?
They have until June 30th of 2020 to complete.
I see, okay. So it seems that they're about right, except maybe a little bit behind, right? A little bit behind,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just doing this in my head, obviously.
No, you're right.
And do we count the self-service people as well, or it doesn't seem to be adequate?
No, because when you come into the one-stop, so this contract says it, but I think that maybe moving forward, we need to rethink that as a board if we want to actually have that as the performance measure.
Right.
Because EDD is in both one-stop centers and there are partners in the one-stop center, you're going to have people come into the one-stop center regardless.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that that's a performance measure that supports REO of performance. I think that there are other measures that we can use to look at performance versus having first-time job seekers being a number that we're counting or looking at.
Yeah, I agree. I think the first-time served, it's just the whole universe. Yeah.
Right, it's anyone who walks in the door.
So it really doesn't pertain to what your REO or contracted dollars are for.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's nice to know the number,
yeah.
You know, as a, maybe like a dashboard number. You know.
So I think we'll continue to have the Bosky Greeter report, so mm-hmm. we'll know exactly who's being served and
yeah.
where they're going in the one-stop system, but I don't think that it's a measure that needs
not,
to be in the contract.
Not contract.
Correct. And if there are no questions, I'm going to move to the next provider.
Sure, yeah.
So we'll go ahead and look at La Habra Youth Program. That's behind tab 7. The city of La Habra actually had carry-ins. They had 29 carry-ins. They had 334 new participants. So the total amount of participants served from July 1st, 2016 to December 31st, 2019 is 363. Of those participants, they've had 259 exits. And as you can see, what's in their contract does not match up, like we mentioned before, because it's not considering what happened in 2016, 17, and 18 contracts.
see if there's any, do you see any issue of problems?
No, at this point.
Okay. And so then we'll move to Okapica. And Okapica's tab 8. And so for Okapica, they had 130 carry-ins. They have 692 new participants. And so a total of 822 participants served, and then 676 participants who exited the program, and that's from July 1st, 2016 to December 31st, 2019.
But we don't know what the contract requirement was.
Right, so you don't have the contracts from 2016, 17, and 18 to compare right. what we were asking them to do versus what they were doing.
Yeah, because the numbers sound
sound great.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
they sound great. Versus for the 19-20 year, it's not even close to those numbers.
Correct. So I think that when we write future contracts or do future procurements, I think that we'll take a look at performance and really think long and hard about a different way to do that and measure it, especially if we're going to continue contracting with providers.
Right. Yeah, because if you have people that are over-performing.
Correct.
You know, there should be a way for that acknowledgement.
Exactly. Yeah.
And for you to utilize that benchmark as maybe as a way for them to pursue future
contracts.
Contracts.
Well. I agree. And so the other performance part of our contracts that are in here, there are two more parts. There's the boss creator performance that's in here, and then the one-stop operator. Under the one-stop operator, there is not a, in the contract, there is not a contracted performance measurement. So what you'll see in this section is just the reports provided by the service provider.
And those seem to kind of be a standard across, because, I mean, I've seen and heard from the other boards as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's not a lot of teeth in that. You know, they're just, this is kind of checking off something that's required.
Not necessarily. So there are other operators that have different...
I'm just talking about it in Orange County.
Oh, in Orange County, yes.
Yeah.
There are different roles an operator can play, uh-huh. and so there are performance tied to some of those roles. And I think that maybe in the future we look at the operator role and have some performance tied to it so that we are tracking that we are creating a workforce system that we truly want and that we've got all the partners that we need to move workforce forward.
I think that would be good because mm-hmm. I know just from my experience with the other two boards while this was rolling out, when they addressed the operator part of it, it was more compliance.
Correct.
As opposed to sitting down to say what is the best pieces of this.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I agree that in the future that could be looked at differently.
Thank you. Are there any questions for any of the service providers? Because we invited them so that they can answer any questions you might have.
Trying to look at the dashboard and seeing where the issues are. I don't see a lot of issues. We've got a couple of down arrows in certain areas, but the information we have here does not really raise any questions except, you know, sometimes why is it going down, right?
Correct.
So I guess I would ask the operators if they have any issues that they would like
right.
to share with us, you know, as it pertains to their contracts.
Okay.
No? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, hearing them? All right, and so that was the end of the Wheel of Performance dashboard section. And so, if you're ready to proceed.
You got a good item number 6, the CEDS Business Solutions update.
So the update that we have right now, we are currently recruiting for a business solutions manager. Hopefully that recruitment will be completed. I don't know how long it's gonna take. What do you think?
Oh,
yeah. About 2 months out. The intention is to replace the role that Karen was playing for the workforce board and really have services that can be provided in-house and support in-house by the Community Investment Division on behalf of the Orange County Development Board to support businesses in Orange County and really get out in the community and provide information on the services that we have available to support businesses in Orange County. So we hope to have that position filled soon. In terms of SEDS, we haven't made any updates at this point in time. We have not made any updates to the SEDS report or and haven't had any requests under SEDS at this time.
Okay.
In the future, I will bring any SEDS requests made to this board through this committee, so that you're aware of anyone who's made a request for us for economic development. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
Anything else? Any questions?
I can't think. Maybe with regards to the item that we could have voted on today.
Yes.
Maybe the recommendation, rather than trying to kind of wrangle us all back to a meeting, maybe that could be done by phone, you know?
No, we can't.
Is it in the bylaws?
It's in the Brown Act. So what we'll do is we'll just take it up to the executive committee.
All right.
And then the full board for vote.
Okay.
So we'll present it to the executive committee to present to the full board for that action. So essentially when it was presented today, it was just to ask for your vote to present it up to exec.
Okay.
It wasn't to actually...
To actually approve.
Prove it, right.
Okay. I was just trying to address housekeeping.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Okay.
So anyway, one of the results of this meeting would be a suggestion that the staff change the dashboard to
correct.
Include from contract beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And I think the form of the dashboard is good. It's mm-hmm. got colored circles and it's got arrows, and I think those are two important things, and mm-hmm. that would give us a look at the exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and on the business surveys to include some of the anecdotal or you know direct information provided by those employers that have used the system.
Okay.
I think if you end up with, like, I look at the marketing of it, if somebody gives you a good quote, then you have an employer that you can tout and say, if this employer uses our system, maybe you should too.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we'll work on creating a survey that goes out. I don't know that we've ever done it before.
There's one that exists.
Okay.
We'll, it's already distributed.
Okay, so we'll make sure that we send it out and get that information back for the next SCMP committee meeting.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Do I hear a motion for adjournment?
I guess so. All right, thank you.
I know you need